This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan with Kusi Chuang and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to tax expert Varinderjit Singh of XL Asia on how COVID-19 may impact tax revenues. But in the meantime, let's talk about party hopping. We've been seeing a slew of people quitting their parties after claiming they've lost confidence here.
Last weekend, 600 party Warisan Sabah members quit the party, citing loss of confidence, as you mentioned. And 50 Johor PKR women leaders also quit the party for the same reasons. And really, this comes after 48 PKR members had already quit earlier this month. So it's not really looking good, not looking rosy at all for Pakatan Harapan.
Yeah. I mean, the demarcation is between Pakatan and Perikatan. And of course, some of these politicians didn't announce which parties they're joining next. There's no shortage of examples, right, of party hopping among MPs. So a lot of frogs lie in the room, a lot of kataks.
Yeah, we got a poll running on Twitter right now, actually, on the BFM, at BFM Radio. Do you vote based on the party or the candidate? 55% right now saying they vote for the party. And in fact, following the Sheraton move in February, certain Pakatan Harapan MPs did talk about anti-party hopping laws, that it was something the coalition would consider for its next manifesto. But how likely are we to see such a law actually be implemented? For more on this, we speak to Wong Chin Huat, political scientist based at Sunway University. Chin Huat, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, should MPs be able to hop from one party to another, or should they be penalised for it? What is the current situation?
There's no law that can stop it except in Penang. There is an anti-hopping provision in the state constitution, but its constitutionality is highly suspected. So it probably would be rule now and void if anyone affected were to bring it to the federal court, to the High Supreme Court, sorry. Yeah.
So I understand an anti-party hopping law does have its upside and also its downside. So in your mind, what would be the ideal legal framework that, you know, captures the spirit of this anti-party hopping and its downside?
Right. We need to see party hopping is a symptom. It's not really the issue. The real problem is weak parties. If you have strong parties, people may still hop. But they hop because of political differences, genuine political differences, not for any short-term material gains and so on. So that should be fine. And what we have today are very weak parties, therefore making it so easy for people to jump over to make short-term gains, either as kingmakers or cheerleaders on the government side. That's normally what happened. So what we need to do is to give voters a chance to decide whether such hoping is actually agreeable by them. That's what we call recall election. We need to reduce the differential between being in the government and in the opposition, so people do not have such a need to jump. We need to even consider changing the electoral system so that we have a direct mandate for parties instead of just for candidates.
So would you say we should look at, say, Singapore, for example, the constitution? I think the Article 46(2)(b) lawmakers will lose their seats if they resign. Would you propose that we adopt something similar?
No, not at all. This is, in fact, what we have in Penang now, in the state constitution. Now, in 1992, you have similar provision in the Kelantan state constitution, and that has been declared null and void by the federal court then, and that verdict stands still hold waters until today. So it's unlikely you're going to see the Penang one to be executable, but the problem is actually larger than this. Think of it this way. In the last election, the Penang or the Pakatan in Senanjung, they, under which ticket they contest under? Do you remember in 2018?
In Semenanjung, was Pakatan Rakyat at that point? 2008, right?
2018.
Oh, 2018. Pakatan Harapan. Oh, PKR.
PKR. So basically, if you go by the Penang state constitution, the only one who would not get disqualified if the if the Supreme Court doesn't stand in their way, would be all those from PKR. Everyone else should be disqualified. That actually point out one problem beyond constitutionality. That is, anti-hopping law in Malaysia has a big hurdle: coalition politics.
Yeah, so but we need some sort of law or some framework to capture the upside and downside of this anti-party hopping. We can't rely on the genuineness and sincerity of politicians, right? So what would be the best alternative?
The best alternative is recall elections. Now, the difference between recall elections and anti-hopping law is that anti-hopping law is rigid, and the moment you jump, you lose your seat. That gives a lot of power to party leadership. As in the case of Penang, if you want to be anti-hopping law to be effective, you cannot just punish people who voluntarily quit their party, but it must also include those involuntarily punished, expelled by the party.
Yeah, so Chin Huat, it seems that Malaysia is caught in a catch-22 situation now, because you're referring to electoral reform, but electoral reform is right now in the back burner. And it seems as if what you're suggesting now is not exactly conducive to the party in power, because it does party hopping, what we call horse trading, serves the current situation.
Not exactly so, because as you see, the federal government has no incentive at all to introduce anything, whether it's anti-hopping law or recall elections. And none of the state can push for anti-hopping law because it would be nullified by the Supreme Court. But recall election is possible to be done at the state level. So what Penang is doing now, what Penang has done in 2012, Penang can do it for recall elections. So they can put a, let me explain what recall election first. In normal employment, both the employer and employee can terminate the contract, giving them 1 month or 3 month notice. In politics, elected representative can resign anytime they want. However, employers have no choice of terminating their contract earlier. So recall elections to give that power back to voters. How? You need, let's say we just take some figure. You need 1% of the voters to initiate a recall petition. Then maybe 10% of voters to endorse it, with 11% of voters asking for a recall election. An election will be held with only one decision to be made: should the incumbent be recalled, be sacked.
So this refers to, this applies to state legislatures, but what about at federal level? Surely the country deserves a lot better than that.
Of course, but what you need is to help people to imagine how this works, because Malaysians are very conservative. We are not known to be sort of like, very knowledgeable about what happened elsewhere. If you have a recall election at state level, let's say it's Selangor, imagine what would happen to the Adun of Bukit Antara Bangsa, Mr. Azmin Ali. He would have big trouble. And of course, that would not affect him as the MP of Gombak. But if he get recall and you have a by-election, that send a very clear message and say, now, if you try to be funny, you get punished in the next election. And that's only 3 years from now, from next year.
So basically, if the MP, if there's a party hopping situation there, this is only something that takes place 3 years later than the action to this jumping.
You see, what happened is that if you have recall election now, then can take place now. But what is said is that once recall elections become visible, the demand would increase for this to happen at the state and the federal level, and PH can actually campaign on this. Now, PH as a victim, they're not even committing to anti-hopping law. For what reason? One, PH Plus, Bersatu used to be the beneficiaries of party hopping. Mahathir was not in favour of such provision. Second, in order for you to introduce recall elections, you need to have a two-thirds, so you need a strong mandate. They're not pushing for anything. A recall election is easier than anti-hopping law. Because what it ultimately changed is this. If you hopping from one party to another, let's say someone from Bersatu to UMNO, UMNO to Bersatu, and their constituents are all happy with that, there would be no recall election because no one would actually start a petition.
All right. Sorry, General. Did I interrupt you there?
Sure.
All right, General, thank you so much for joining us on the line this morning. That was Wong Chin Hut at Sunway University, breaking down, I guess, his view on how we should be addressing the party hopping situation in the country. And I think he's also rightly pointed out that it also is about motivation, right? You can't get the law passed if no one wants to get it passed.
Well, I mean, my key takeaways from this discussion are two things, right? First of all, the political framework in Malaysia is a mess. And second of all, conceptually, anti-hopping should be legislated. It should be made clear and it should be enforced rigidly because the country deserves a lot better than that, right? Because you vote for a government, you vote for a politician, you vote for a party, and then it doesn't make sense for down the line, just like what happened with Malaysia, for the whole thing to be upheaval, to be upturned, with no resolution in sight. The truth of the matter is it seems as if party hopping serves the parties in power, whether or not they're the government or not, because new parties seem to be formed all the time. Some politicians are even MPs without even belonging to a certain party. And it serves the group that wants to be in power at that point in time. So at some point in time, Bersatu, it serves Bersatu. At some point in time, it serves UMNO. At other points in time, it serves PAS.
Yeah, so I think very quickly, I think for Singapore, they have this in their constitution, right? If you lose your seats, you will lose your seat if you resign or you are expelled from the party. So this, in effect, by extension, this means that the seat is open for, you know, to be contested again. And so you return the power of the vote to citizens, right? So in some sense, it's sort of a framework for a recall election, so to speak.
Yeah, it also brings up the whole argument of freedom of association as well, right? But I guess ideally, if you voted for the person or for the politician, you would trust that their decision to hop or whatever would be in line with your best interest. But a lot of us, I think as the poll is already showing on our simple poll, it's like 57% vote for the party. So you kind of want that association to the party itself. So how do we address this issue, because there are people who do feel betrayed by this whole situation. And then there's also this proportional representation. That is something that was mooted by the ERC, the Election Reform Committee, which was in an interesting situation where if someone basically party hopped their seat, someone else would be allocated that based on the previous election results. Right now, we're going into a few messages. When we come back, we'll be taking a look at the Indian economy after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.